Okay, here we go. It says Regina A. Gaylor Unti. I do use the A, but call me Regina. And the reason why I use the A is because I have a niece who works for the government, and she's Regina M. Gaylor, and she doesn't want... You know, she's stationed in Pakistan. We don't know what she's doing there, so I understand why she doesn't want the wild aunt involved. So anyway, I'm also faculty at Walden University, but these are my own prepared remarks. I have no relationships to disclose. At the end of the session, you should know a little bit about the ARRA funding, the stimulus bill funding, and the way that that impacts community health education and prevention. It will make sense in a minute why I'm talking about this, because it feeds right into the money that's coming for us for the community transformation grants. I'm also going to discuss just a little bit about advocacy, but we've got an advocacy wonk on the panel, so I'll kind of leave it. Do you remember the stimulus money, the $787 billion pumped into our economy? $1 billion of it went to Prevention and Wellness Fund, and Secretary Sebelius was able to use it in any way she wanted. She used $350 million for important things like immunization and infection control. She took $650 million of it and put it into some other things like media. That's cool, little pointer. Media, self-management initiative, very important, it's important, but I want to talk about this $373 million in the Communities Putting Prevention to Work money. The Community Putting Prevention to Work money really follows a prevention initiative. It's different in that all those individual groups and those states that were funded receive money for evidence-based mobilization, strengthening the capacity of states. They had policy and environmental change. They had advocacy. I'm going to show you some examples in a minute. And they were all funded for either obesity or tobacco, or a combination of obesity and tobacco. 30 states were funded, and the District of Columbia. 44 awards were made. They just got their awards in March of 2009. You can see if your state is up there or not. Done, okay. 23 on obesity, 14 on tobacco only, on 7 on obesity and tobacco. That's probably a better way to see if your state, if they've got a little color there, they probably got some money. But you can see that all the frontier states are not funded. And down here in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana, if you think about what you heard this morning or what you read in your books, we're really going to look at rural health, and we're going to look at places that don't have as much access to preventive care. So they will probably have some type of funding coming up, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I'm going to talk about three different stimulus grants, these Community Putting Prevention to Work, CPPW. And the reason why I'm going into this is because they should look to you a lot like the grants that will probably come out in the community transformation grants. And there's a lot of, someone asked me at the end the last time, where does health education fit in? And I think it fits in right here. And since I am a health educator, turned policy person, but still a health educator, I'm very interested in this. You'll see that they're going to do things in Boston. By the way, they didn't get $16 million. They only got 12.4. I don't know why I gave them extra money, but I'm not the grant administrator. Too bad for them. You'll see that they want to do things like, on the bottom of each one of these slides where I show you all three of these, I'm pointing out that they have environmental and policy change and advocacy here. These are underlying themes of these grants, and they will be in these community transformation grants. They're just starting to ramp up in many of these states and locales. I've seen a few job posts for some of these jobs that will come out of this, and I've seen a lot of community awareness, trying to get people involved to join up to be part of whatever grant they have. Boston is going to increase active transit. I don't know if any of you have seen the nice little places where you can rent a bike out here in Denver. They're going to do that. They're also working with CompleteStreets.org, which you should take a look at, because they're doing things like multimodalism and using our streets in ways other than cars, so bicycles, wheelchairs, walking. They're going to look at local food production and distribution, so they want to change environmental environmentally, they want to make land use policy, and they're, because they are one of the grants that has tobacco, they're working on youth advocacy for tobacco policy. Now, the second grant I wanted to talk about is in Indiana. Indiana's not a very populated state. Vandenberg County, see on the right-hand side. A couple of years ago, I don't know if any of you had coordinated school health money from CDC's DASH in your state. You probably have, and you just don't realize it. Okay, so there's some money out there. They're going to build on the work that they did in the state of Indiana. I was actually involved in that when I lived in Indiana, and build more coordinated school health programs in the some of the schools that weren't funded before. They're also going to have safe routes to school. They're going to increase organizations, over here in Bartholomew, they're going to increase organizations adopting healthy meeting guidelines, which is very interesting, and physical activity in after schools program. So again, systems changed, evidence base, advocacy, policy change. And the last one I want to talk about is in Orange County. This is Orange County, Florida. They have $6.6 million for tobacco control. If you look at this all in, that's their website where they're just really getting started on the work they want to do. I was kind of fascinated by this particular grant because they say they're going to educate policymakers, which I think is interesting within the guidelines of a federal grant. So I'm going to be following this because I want to see how they do that and that they don't cross the lobbying lines. So I think that'll be interesting. And they want to have smoke-free parks, so they're going to change the environment there, and they're going to work with a lot of advocates in implementing prevention control policy changes. Okay, so you're here for the healthcare reform legislation. You heard a lot about it this morning. We're going to bend the cost curve, and part of the way we're going to do that is through prevention, and the way we're going to do our prevention now is in a very innovative way. So you saw this about the money. I have this actually taped up near my desk at home because it just excites me to look at all this money and think, wow, somebody actually has been thinking about prevention education, and they've been thinking about what we can do to really change the health of the American people. And unfortunately, however, as you know, in the first year, the 250, it wasn't 500 million funded, it was 250 million funded. I'll talk about that in a minute. So, that money, all that money, which is extra money, all the way up to $2 billion in 2015, and of course we are going to get it because we're going to advocate for it, and we're going to educate people and motivate them to advocate for getting that money and sending it to us because we can do great things in bending the cost curve. There's a lot of very interesting, yeah, absolutely. We have to do this, and I'm going to talk about a little, and they are too. And you already. Yeah, he did. He's going to do a great thing, so. Community transformation grants, I'm going to get to in a minute. I did want to point out here that in 2011, there are going to be some grants for workplace wellness for those small companies under 100 people. That's a great place for health education and prevention education. You're going to see a lot on obesity, in particular because of Michelle Obama's programs. You heard the other Regina, Dr. Regina Benjamin, this morning talking. She'd probably not be happy about doing that, but anyway, I'll take it. License. And then there's very specific disease initiatives. And at the end of this, I will try to get through quickly because Rob, you're going to knock me when I get this. Okay. I actually, in this presentation, have some really nice websites and some articles I think you might want to read, just a couple, a little light reading. And I'll either give them to you at the end or give you my email. But you want to take a look at the way they're rolling these out over time. What's coming in 2011, what's coming out of all of this. But for the most part, in the first year of this, for health educators, for the first half year, we're looking at obesity and tobacco, okay? So these are all great things out of this 250 million that should have been 500 million, but I'll leave it there. $74 million for evidence-based interventions on obesity and tobacco, physical activity, nutrition, which feeds, of course, into the obesity, and HIV-related health disparities. So that's where most of that money will go. Now, remember I told you only 30 states were funded by the stimulus money? There's a movement, and I think this will happen, they're going to go back and pick up those places that weren't funded. with some of this money. Look at that, really. Okay. Really? Okay. I think when you're getting ready to write these community transformation grants, they are for the state, they're for local, they're also for CBOs. So you don't necessarily have to be a government agency to write these grants. The community transformation grants will look quite a bit like the ones from the stimulus money, and that's why I was asked to speak about it and kind of show you the way. That when you look in your documents from this morning, it shows that we worry about policy, we're worried about evidence-based, we're worried about changing the environment, about advocacy, infrastructure, those types of things. Those need to be fed into these community transformation grants. And one of the websites I have for you is the CPPW site, so you can read all those different grants, because I only showed you three. Okay, how am I doing? Oh, how many minutes? It's about time. Okay, so I should go fast. So quick on advocacy. I was a community organizer long before I was a professor. And I remember one particular little battle where we were putting a public health department into a community. And the thing is that it was an election year when it was swept by conservatives. But we still won on community health, having a public health department. And the reason why we did is because we took it to the people. And so I'm asking you to do that too. You need to go to your Thanksgiving tables. You need to go to your parents and your siblings and everybody else. And don't laugh at me, because this is the truth. They will do things that you'd be surprised about. They just don't know. I mean, half my colleagues that I've talked to over at the SOFI conference don't know much about this healthcare reform. So most people don't know, and you can't expect people who aren't part of us to know. So please start telling people things, and here's how you can do it. This is why you need to, we'll just switch. See, Harkin got out there and defended the Johans Amendment. If you haven't read his speech, you should. It's only a couple of pages. He's really putting prevention with dollar amounts. It's really great. And then here's a couple of articles I think you should read. Maybe you can read mine on it. Using social media and advocacy, but more importantly, write this down quick in case you don't get it. If you want to write to me about something professorial, go ahead and use my Walden account. Otherwise, use my home account. It's healthprof@comcast.net.